passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everyone and everything here on Om Times Radio, where we're changing the world one om at a time. Today is the first Thursday of the month. For our regular listeners, they know that this means, this used to mean it was Thirst Quenching Thursday, where Matt and I would just kick around a bunch of interesting topics from a spiritual perspective. But if you've missed the last couple of Thirst Quenching Thursdays, you might not know that we're no longer quenching your thirst, but we are moving you into neutral, i.e. neutral news, where Matt Connerton and I have decided that in this day and age of faux politicians, faux presidents, faux Congress, and faux news, that we might try to give you the real deal as best we could and as a neutral way as possible. And if we have an opinion to express, we start it with, this is my opinion. So we're not presenting it to you as if it's a truth, but to let you know, this is what Cashew and Walnut here think about it. Because we get to have opinions, but we don't get to tell them to you like they're truth. And that's happening a lot these days. For those of you who keep on saying, Matt who? It's not Matt who, it's Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed. One of the most popular drive time shows in Manchester, New Hampshire, 5 days a week, Matt Connerton Unleashed. He also is the founder and the holder of IPM Nation, where you can also find the Dr. Kevin channel. So, Matt, how are you?
I'm good, but I have a very important question. Who is Cashew and who is Walnut?
Well, I was kind of thinking that I'd be Cashew because I really like cashews. And I just think that, you know, I've seen you up more against the wall these days. So I figured you'd be Walnut. But you can be Peanut if you'd rather. Then we can see if Jeff Dunham is available to come on the show.
See if who's available?
Jeff Dunham. Don't tell me you don't know who Jeff Dunham is.
Oh, Jeff Dunham.
Yes.
Oh, I misunderstood. I thought you said Jeff Sessions, and I was like, huh?
No. I try not to have future and past criminals on the show, unless they really have, you know, showed some fortitude, have some true forgiveness for what they've done. You know, the ones who just continue to illegally do things. I just I'm sure it's my shortcoming. So if I'm not going to have people that are breaking the law on the show, I've just eliminated getting anybody from DC. I mean, you know, I've just lost a whole town.
I think you should have people who are breaking the law on. Why not?
Oh, well, if they would own the fact that they're breaking the law, I mean, if they'd at least be upfront and honest and say, okay, yeah. Yeah, we're kind of screwing you all, and we're getting away with it. And, you know, I might be more open to it. But this is neutral news, so we want people on here that are going to be honest. So, again, we have eliminated a whole section of our country.
I broke the law earlier today. I'm a notorious jaywalker.
You jaywalked today?
I jaywalk every day.
Do I know Jay? And why were you walking with him? And does Jay have a boyfriend or girlfriend, and do they care that you're walking out with Jay? This sounds like this could be quite the soap opera.
And I don't think we're talking about the same thing.
Jay?
I'm talking about my lawless disregard for traffic signals and so forth. And
oh, my God. Call the police. Can we lock him up and throw away the key? He crosses the street illegally.
See, this is good for my image.
Ah, I didn't know you had an image. You want to share it with the listeners?
I do.
What's your image?
My image is I'm a rebel who breaks the law and jaywalks with impunity and doesn't feel bad about it. Yeah, that's me.
So you're the newest update of a rebel without a cause?
Yes. Except I do have a cause, and my cause is jaywalking. I don't wait for traffic lights.
Well, I thought maybe you were just walking out with Jay, and then I was going to have to talk to Jen, and I was going to have to talk to,
I don't even know this Jay character.
You don't even know a Jay? Of course, we both know a Jay. Don't we?
Jay.
Think
Oh, yeah,
Matthew.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, we both
That's
know
right.
a Jay.
Yeah. Well, it's a common name.
So, before we go right to neutral news, before we make that, and, and I've got something I want to talk about today, and I'm hoping that you also have something that you want to talk about today. This is the first show I've done since we had the Web of Light Expo. So I do want to take a couple minutes because it's the first radio show I've done since then. So I do want to take maybe even up till the first break. And so what did you think of the expo? You were there both days.
Oh, it was very impressive. A lot of great speakers there and just a lot of vendors. And it was, I mean, I understood that it was going to be a big deal, but I didn't realize, I guess, how big a deal. And I was very impressed.
Yep. We ended up having 993 people that came through the door over the weekend.
Wow. Excellent.
So, but, you know, we also, and we had the fun of the fire alarm on Sunday morning. Everybody right up. And for the most part, I'd say we're running somewhere between 65 to 70% positive feedback. You're always going to have some people that aren't happy. You're always going to have some people that are complaining. That's just the name of the game.
Sure.
But there was a very interesting thing that happened, and I'm trying to track it down. And again, I know that this is our neutral news show, but since this is the first show I've been on air since then, which is, I don't know if I'm talking about one or two people because I can't seem to track down enough of the information, but somebody started a rumor on the show on Saturday that this person that a lot of people knew, who's an intuitive, that they were out at somebody's booth and, quote unquote, illegally doing $20 readings because we were very clear that we had a reader's gallery. And then there were certain types of readings that were so specific, we broke those out into their own booths. Like if somebody just did Akashic Records or was an art medium and drew paintings and stuff, that kind of falls out of the whole gallery, you know, sit down and have a 15-minute, you know, reading type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we broke it out. And so suddenly on Saturday night, I have somebody coming up and going, well, you know, the readers are really upset that you're letting this person out there in the main hallway just sit down in somebody's booth and start, you know, doing these $20 readings. And I'm like, well, when this was first discovered, why did not somebody come and tell me? Because I would have marched this person off the premises. I would have thrown the booth out. That goes against the contract that they signed with us. But you can't tell me at the end of the day, when the damage is already done, that you're upset with me if you didn't come and tell me. Like, what's up with that? So what was that? Well, I didn't see them. I just heard. Everybody I tracked down just heard that this event occurred. And so I went to the area that they said, well, she was supposed to be in this area. And I knew people that knew her that had booths all around that area. And I went to those people on Sunday morning, because I found out about it late on Saturday, and I said, was this person here? No, I would have known this person was here. If this person was sitting down and doing readings, I would have seen them. I know this person. I asked three different people that have booths in that area. So the whole thing was made up, speaking of faux news, just to stir trouble.
Yeah.
And then I got two scorching emails, semi-scorching emails, from people that were upset or saying that they had readers that were upset because we had said there'd only be 20 readers, and there were 35 with all the readers on the floor. Well, no matter how you look at it, Matt, if you added in the astrologer, the aura photographers, the people doing hands-on healing energy work, the animal communicator, who we separated out because we couldn't have somebody in that gallery space for psychic readers bringing their animals in, we would never get to 35, no matter which way you looked at it. But two different people
right.
had this number. And so, again, now I start asking people, I go, well, where did this number from? Who made the original statement? Nobody can remember. Nobody knows. But stirred up all sorts of bad feelings and all sorts of stuff at the expo. So two times somebody who was in our readers gallery, because the only thing I can find out is it was one of the readers, lied to stir a bunch of crap up at the show for us.
Wow. Well, that's not cool.
No, and I will track it down. I also know that there was a reader who was at the show that made the mistake of sitting there at the butt can smoking cigarettes with a couple of other people and completely trashing Angie and completely trashing me and completely trashing
Expo.
And they made the mistake of not of doing it at the butt can, where on the other side of the butt can was Angie's daughter, who they didn't know was Angie's daughter, who immediately came back and told us.
Oh, wow. No kidding.
Yeah. So it wasn't like one I didn't hear from a person that heard from a person. That one I heard from the person who heard it, who immediately came and said, you need to know that this reader is out there talking to a bunch of other readers and vendors and just completely trashing both of you and the expo. The same person who came to us and told us how wonderful it was and how glad they were to be involved about 24 hours before.
What? Wow. So what did you do?
Well, that person will never come back to. That person will never come back.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. What can you do? So
right.
I have a serious question when we get back, but I hear the music and we're going on our first break here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Looking for inspiration?
Want to be inspired?
Not sure where to go?
Find Mark and Kim every Wednesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern on Inspired Living.
Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience and all things spiritual.
Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking.
You are the inspired and the inspiration.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. The manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone here on Om Times Radio, where we're changing the world one om at a time. This is Neutral News Day, Neutral News Thursday, which is the first Thursday of every month, where Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and the founder and head of IPM Nation. And I try to bring you some neutral news. We try to take out the hype. We try to take out what everybody wants you to think by twisting and misrepresenting what's actually going on in their second grade way of he said, she said, them, us, their, blah. Does that sound right? About right, Matt?
Sounds about right.
Okay. If you would like to call in and be part of this show, if you would like if you have some neutral news that you'd like to share, which means you have to say that you have done your due diligence and are willing to prove that what you're saying is a neutral piece of fact, not subjective, that was said by your local shady politician. And of course you believe them because politicians never lie. You can call in and share some neutral news you may have. You may question some neutral news we have, or you may just want to chat with Matt and I, because Matt and I are very chattable. Are we not chattable, Matt?
We're chattable.
You can call in at 202-570-7057. Again, that's 202-570-7057. Or you can come to facebook.com/mydrkevin, M-Y-D-R-K-E-V-I-N, and you can post there on today's show. And I realized that because I was driving in and got here just a few minutes before, that I did not necessarily set up a place for you to do that. So I'm going to do that right now, that you can come and have a comment. And when you do that, we will read it on air and share what you have to say. I'm just going to write post here for neutral news. How does that sound? Does that work?
Well, we'll see if anyone posts, and then we'll know.
I don't know. You can't do that. So, so we were talking about the expo, which was a success. I mean, we said we wanted to get 1,000 to 1,500 people. We had 993 that came in the door. Of course, everybody would like it busier, because busier is more money, but busier. I know that there was several of the vendors that told me they made their booths by Saturday, where other vendors were complaining how slow it was. Well, you know what? I'm not responsible for the quality of your product. There were some people that were making their booth by Saturday afternoon. If you didn't make your booth by Sunday night, either you're at the wrong kind of expo or you got the wrong kind of product. Not my problem. Right? I mean, like, you know.
And we should probably clarify for listeners too what you mean by making your booth. So, you know, whatever fee they paid, they already had made it back at the point where they made their booths. So in other words, their break-even point, they had hit their break-even point. Now they were making profit.
And, you know, I've been saying for a while, and you were not in the room for the taping when Angie and I did How to Choose Your Spiritual Teacher and Build a Spiritual Business talk. You were in a different room. Am I correct?
Right.
You weren't okay. Because we did.
Correct, yeah.
And one of the things that brought me back to New England, you know, obviously falling in love and getting engaged and, you know, all of that helps. But, you know, one of the things when I got back to New England was I was like, I don't like a lot of what's going on in the spiritual community. It seems like it's gotten very sleazy. It's gotten very slimy. I'm just hearing things that I'm like, really? A spiritual teacher said that? Really? This is not right. And you and I have had this conversation, have we not?
We have a little bit, but I mean, for the sake of the listeners, what do you mean when you say that it had gotten sleazy and whatnot? What can you give an example?
Well, so here's a couple of examples. So one example is the spiritual teacher that says the only way to do it is my way. It's my way or no way. And if you can't do it my way, then you don't have the gift to be psychic at all. That's a bad teacher.
Yeah,
that's just a bad teacher.
Yeah, of course.
There's one person who on numerous occasions would wait until somebody posted they were going to do an event, and if the event they were doing was on Sunday, they would go to the same place or someplace very close and put a similar event up on Saturday, the day before your event.
Oh, that's just predatory.
Yeah, and you can't say it's you know, I don't do spiritual competition, but if you're having an a one-day expo at, you know, wherever, Courtyard Marriott, where we had our two-day expo, on a Sunday or on a Saturday, and then somebody comes in 2 weeks after you've posted and advertises it and announces now they're going to do one the weekend before or the day before, that's,
yeah,
that's just not right. I mean, the spiritual community should be pulling together, working together. Or,
well, also, too, when people do that, it just hurts everybody, because all you're doing is, you know, dividing the market. You know, it doesn't, because the person who's doing that, there's no reason for them to do that other than to hurt you and your event. Because if they're doing it to maximize their own event, they're going to avoid running it the same weekend, not trying to actively interfere with your event. So they're just doing what they're doing out of spite from a business standpoint.
Yeah. You know, and there was a couple of cases where, you know, people were making completely false statements about events. You know, we said we had the largest event north of Boston. As far as I know, we can back up that claim. The number of vendors we had,
yeah,
the number of readers we had, the space that we took, the number of presenters we have. I have a checklist of tangible things. So, you know, by the time you did vendors and readers and everybody, we were well over the 100 mark. But there was a promoter in the area promoting spiritual events that was consistently saying, you find the best vendors, the best psychics, and this is the largest event in all of New England that had 40 booths. Well, there's Marlboro Mass and the Spirit of Change Expo, which makes ours look small, but it's west of Boston. We were very careful that we said north of Boston. That's a true statement. This is
right,
west
right.
of Boston. That expo in Marlboro right now, Spirit of Change, has like 300 vendors. They're the largest one I know of in New England. Somebody doing an event at a Moose Lodge with 40 vendors and selling the same booth space product to three different people when there's only 40 vendors, that's just slimy. That's sleazy.
Yeah.
These are the things I'm talking about. You know, that kind of thing. And this real, real push for spiritual competition. You know, we put out classes and said, you know, we have the New Healing Center. We're going to start doing this group as a monthly group. 2 weeks after our expo, another center not too far from us decided that they're going to do the exact same kind of monthly group and started promoting it. And it was never on their radar before that. They literally almost duplicated the name of the group. That's just,
wow.
That's just bad. That's just, it's just like, this is why I said there's been a lot of snake oil salesmen that have come into the spiritual community taking advantage of an increased number of seekers who are seeking because the government has let them down, the religion has let them down, the community has let them down, they don't know who to trust, and now they're dipping their hands in the new age metaphysical community, and the snake oil salesmen have showed up to shake them down for their money and not offering quality services and not acting in integrity, you know?
Right.
So I bring this all up on Neutral News, you know, and one of the reasons, again, because it was the first one after the expo. This is the first radio show I've done after the expo because I took a little break and we had replays going. But part of it is, with all of the faux news going on and all of the it's acceptable to tell a lie and to keep telling the lie and to have the lie be proved a lie, but you just keep telling it because if you tell it often enough and long enough, somebody's going to believe you, or the people are going to believe you that want to.
The big lie theory, yep.
Is this the kind of energy that has creeped into the spiritual community in north of Boston in New England? I can't speak of west of Boston, I can't speak of south of Boston, but I'm seeing a lot of, well, if Donald Trump can do it, why can't I? Things are popping up. Do you think that we're going to see a decreasing integrity that goes all the way down to the community level because of that very reason? Serious question. If our president can do it,
it's an interesting question, because I was discussing this with someone yesterday on my show about how, you know, we've seen a rise of anti-Semitism on social media. Jen notices it quite a bit. And there seems to be a correlation of that with Trump's rise to power. But my theory is that the reason for that, because I don't believe that Trump is himself an anti-Semite. You know, his daughter and son-in-law are Orthodox Jews. You know, Ivanka converted, and obviously so Trump's grandchildren are Jewish and whatnot. And Trump said something pretty forcefully against anti-Semitism recently. But I think what has happened is, I think you're onto something. I think that Trump, with his, shall we say, very limited affinity for the truth and for facts, I think he has given people kind of a license because of his own actions. I think there is an attitude now that it's okay to, for example, say something anti-Semitic because Trump thinks it's okay to insult people, even though he himself may not be anti-Semitic. And I think that you see a lot of unconventional, or what would have been unconventional behavior for a presidential candidate leading into the election, and then a lot of unconventional behavior for a president. And the way Trump likes to, you know, he's always punching down on social media and whatnot. He's the president of the United States, but he'll still pick a fight with Arnold Schwarzenegger over the ratings for The Apprentice. And I do think, some of that is filtered down. But I don't blame Trump for it. I blame the people who engage in this behavior and use Trump, whether they're doing it consciously or subconsciously, and probably most of it isn't conscious, but using Trump as an excuse to engage in that behavior. I think that's what's going on. And I think these people, they go down a very bad road because they only sabotage themselves. They're not helping themselves. Like I said, engaging in that predatory activity does not help their own businesses either. They only hurt themselves, and they don't realize it.
Well, you know, they hurt themselves, but they are also hurting the children that they role model this behavior to.
They
hurt the people that are affected by the bigotry. And I would say is the responsibility that does go back to Trump is he has made hate speech popular. And they may not be, and I agree with you, I don't think he's anti-Semitic. And I think he's got grandchildren that are Jewish and a daughter that converted. And so I don't think he specifically has anything against Jews, but somebody who has the hatred for Jews, what he has made acceptable is he has role modeled and made acceptable hate speech. Hate speech. Trump is the most politically incorrect. And I'm not a big fan of PC. I'm not. You know, you and I have had this conversation.
Right.
I think that when you get too PC, this is the pendulum swing from too PC to there's a bully in the room. And Trump's a bully. He bullies people. He bullies people that will let him get bullied. He will threaten them. He will call them names. He will act just like a boy, a boy in elementary school who may be, for whatever reason, have a little more power, bigger than everyone else, and bullies them as long as he can get away with it. He's a bully. But he promotes hate speech. And when you promote hate speech as the president of the United States, you should be held responsible for all the damage, whether you agree with what they're hating or not, because you're the one that said this is acceptable behavior. And on that note, I'm sure Matt and I will continue to debate this when we get back here on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Searching for a perspective beyond the mainstream? Check it out. Join your hosts, Yelito Pascual and Diana Gold-Holland, on Share International Radio for thought-provoking views behind the news, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, on Om Times Radio. You can also find us at shareontheairradio.org. This may be the message of hope you've been waiting for.
This is why you work so hard to pay the mortgage. Because home is more than four walls and a roof. It's that porch swing and a summer evening. It's everybody over for Sunday dinner and your family sleeping in their own beds at night. Making Home Affordable is a free government resource that can make paying the mortgage easier. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov.
Good night, Mama.
This is why. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show, where we challenge everything and everyone. This is Neutral News, first Thursday of the month, where Matt Connerton of the Matt Connerton Unleashed Drive Time Show. On what station, Matt?
I'm on WMNH 95.3 in glorious Manchester, New Hampshire.
Who does the drive? I've been saying drive time instead of drive through.
yes. Some people say drive through. No, it's not the Food Network. And some people will say drive by. Manchester, we don't have a lot of shootings. I'm not saying we don't have any, but I've not been shot. So, which is nice.
And so. And congratulations. I know that this is a recent new gig for you, though you've had your show for over a decade now somewhere else. But I know that this is an upgrade, so to speak.
Yes, it is. This is my first political show on FM radio. I should mention, too, of course, there's a replay of Unleashed weeknights at 11 p.m. Eastern on IPMNation.com as well.
But I had made I think that Trump still has responsibility by the fact that he promotes hate speech and is, in my observation, and I can assuredly give you enough facts that would say, yes, that defines somebody who has a bullying personality. So I don't think it's objective. I think we can objectively say that, you know, it's not hard to find things that he says. It's bullying and hate speech. It's there. I'm not making it up.
Well,
that's why I can say it on Neutral News. But go ahead.
I'm gonna disagree with you just a little bit. One very specific thing. I agree that he's a bully and he's very insulting and he's very immature in a lot of ways and whatnot. But I would not use the term hate speech to describe what he does. To me, when I think of hate speech, I think of someone, you know, when someone says things that are specifically, hateful and aggressive and evil about gays or about people of a different ethnicity or whatnot or about transgender people, et cetera. Trump, the closest thing that I would consider hate speech was when Trump was talking about Mexican immigrants and he made that comment about them being rapists. And I know, if we apply some nuance to that, he wasn't saying that they're all rapists, but he said it so inartfully, it came across that way. and a lot of people were obviously very critical of him, including myself. But I would not say, I don't think it's quite fair to say that he engages in or has legitimized hate speech. That's going a little too far for me. I would not use that word specifically. Other than that, I agree with you, but I would nitpick that one thing.
So you don't think that some of the comments that he has made that were misogynistic in nature, plus the comments he's made about Muslims, plus the comments he's made about Mexicans at times would have qualified as hate speech?
I would not. We might have a different idea of what
he does it daily. I'm not saying he does it daily. I'm just saying he's done it.
Yeah. We might have a different, and we probably do. It sounds like we have a different standard for what is hate speech. But when I hear the term hate speech, I think of, you know, like if somebody says something, like we talked about the rise in anti-Semitism. So if somebody says something, you know, like, you know, kill everybody in Israel or something, you know, that's hate speech. That's, to me, being kind of insulting and demeaning to people, that's bad. And Trump should be above that, and he's not, and it's unfortunate that he's not, but I hate speech to me is something more specific and severe. I think you're using the term more broadly than perhaps I would use it. So no, I would not call, I certainly wouldn't say anything positive about some of the terrible things Trump has said, but I wouldn't necessarily call it hate speech per se.
So, would you say that Trump says things at times which promotes and supports hate?
I don't know. Yeah, I think that. See, part of why I'm trying to pick my words carefully is I tend to be a little bit skeptical about giving. Well, let me put it this way, because I had a very very similar discussion with someone on my show about this. I'm very big on personal responsibility, and I think too often in our culture. Yes, it's important to look for reasons for why things happen, but I think we generally in our culture let people off the hook a little too easily in some ways by not holding them as accountable as we should. So, in other words, this is a difficult thing to articulate, so be patient with me, but, well, you always are. But I think that, in other words, if someone says something hateful and they're saying it because they heard Trump say something and they think it somehow gives them license to say it, to me, it's not so much that I don't look for the blame to be, okay, well, Trump has somehow promoted this attitude or this idea, and that is why this person is saying it, so we have to blame Trump. That doesn't mean we absolve Trump, but I think the person you have to blame is the person who is spouting the nonsense, regardless of who may have influenced them or they feel whomever gives them license to do that. Because I think if someone says something hateful and you blame Trump, in a way, you almost end up absolving the person who said something hateful because they're weak-minded and easily influenced by, okay, well, the president talks this way, so I can talk this way. I think it's important to blame the individual because that's where you have to confront it, ultimately, is with the individual. And I think that's something we kind of lose in our culture. It's, you know, you can blame the source, but, you know, I go back to the anti-Semitism because it's such an easy example. If Trump is not anti-Semitic and someone says something anti-Semitic because Trump being so speaking so intemperately all the time makes them feel like they have license to say that. That's not Trump's fault. That's the individual who is saying what they're saying. So I that's why, even though I'm very critical of Trump in a lot of ways, I tend to be very resistant to put too much blame on him for this, if that makes sense.
Well, what I feel like is, and I have not researched this well enough, so I already owe our listeners an apology, because I really did not plan on the conversation going in this direction. I actually wanted to try to see how much truth we could ferret out about this health bill that just passed the Republic, the House, that may or may not pass the Senate intact. Probably it's
right.
The Senate's going to have to change it somewhat, or you're going to find that both houses are going to go Democratic in the next election. I really wanted to talk about what is the real deal behind the health care bill. So I didn't plan on going here, but here's my thing. I don't think anyone should be absolved for self-behavior. If you go and you throw rocks at a temple, or you bomb a mosque, or you do anything, you go and have a shootout in a gay bar, yes, you absolutely have to be responsible for it. That being said, there were times when he made comments which basically egged his supporters on to get involved in violence at his rallies. And I do think he has a responsibility
yes.
for that.
That I agree. Yeah. There was one rally he made a comment like, if you hit that guy, I'll pay your medical bills or something. No, absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't call that hate speech, though. But I do agree with you that it's entirely inappropriate and you know, a 70-year-old man should have the maturity not to behave that way. And unfortunately, he does not have that maturity.
Yeah. You could drop the zero, and I'm not sure he has that maturity either. We will be right back for the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on OM Times Radio. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Eros Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment on the first Thursday in May in Neutral News on the Dr. Kevin Show here at OM Times Network, where we're changing the world one ohm at a time. Here on the Neutral News monthly version of the Dr. Kevin Show, I'm here with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and from IPM Nation, where you can go and listen to Matt's shows, my shows, and you can even go see Dr. Kevin and Friends 24-hour-a-day TV internet station. Did I say that right? Is that what it's called? What's it called? What is it called that you set up for me? Fun Time with Bonzo?
Yeah. You can call it what you called it. What'd you call it? An internet something
an internet
TV station?
TV channel.
Yeah, you can call it that.
Okay.
I like that.
On which hundreds, on which, I shouldn't say hundreds, but lots of more stuff is going to be showing up in the next few months. Because all of the stuff at the expo is going to show up. And we already have quite a packed station, don't we?
Hey, by the way, that it's actually cool that I can say this publicly. Not that he'll necessarily hear it, but he deserves credit. That kid, Mike, from the television station there in Nashua. Is it Nashua or Hudson?
Hudson, New Hampshire.
Hudson. I got to tell you, he is outstanding. He is very, extremely professional and really knows what he's doing and has a fantastic attitude. So, Mike, I don't know his last name, but he's very, very impressive.
Mike Johnson, I will pass those words on to him when I see him on Monday, because I will be seeing him on Monday to be taping Dragons, Unicorns, and Other Creative Creatures.
And I did tell him as I was leaving, I said, great job, dude, great job. But, he's fantastic.
You know, I've been on a number, as a guest, I've been on a number of public access stations through the years, as well as major stations. You know, I've been on Fox LA and CBS Salt Lake and some of the big ones being interviewed for my ADD work. And, but I will tell you, my crew in Hudson is one of the most flexible professional crews that will do whatever it takes and will problem solve any problem and stuff like this. And I don't see that level of dedication in a lot of public access channels that I go to. I have to say that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to put anybody else down. I'm just saying I've got a crew in Hudson that just rocks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a nice
you've been
studio
on my
too.
Show. Huh? Yeah, it's a nice studio.
Yeah.
You've been on my show. Actually, what are you doing Monday? You want to come up and be on my Dragon show and talk about the creative side of what you do?
What time?
Come in at 11,
10:45. I'll need to check my schedule. I'll text you after the show. I want to make sure before I commit to that. Probably. I think I can, but I just want to make absolutely sure.
Yep. I've got a couple of slots open on Monday because I was so busy with the expo that I have to admit that I did not get around getting some artists booked for this upcoming set of tapings. So the nice thing is, between my creativity and Rona's, we've got a ton of creativity to talk about on a show about creativity. But so do you.
Of course.
I'd love to have you come on.
Yeah, no, I would love it. Yeah, I'll text you after the show. I just want to make sure I can. But yeah, that sounds great.
Great. So the healthcare bill that passed in the House, have you had a chance to look for what the truth is versus the hype? Have you had a chance?
I mean,
it just happened, but yeah.
Right. It just happened. And I was on the air from four to six rather. So I didn't have a chance to really dig into it. I'll probably cover it on my show tomorrow, but from what I have seen, I don't think it's going to pass the Senate. So I don't think it's going anywhere, but I've said from the beginning, they would have been much better off. I've been saying this for 6 years, more than 6 years. The Republicans would have been much better off not having made repeal and replace their mantra and instead just taking the pressure off of themselves and just reforming the parts of the Affordable Care Act that don't work. Doing it this way, it's very, very risky, and it's very much a third rail. So I don't think it's going to pass the Senate. And there's a lot of division, you know, in the Republican Party. You've got the conservatives and the more slightly more moderates, and you've got the House Freedom Caucus, which seems to be kind of a different version of the Tea Party. And some of them would like a repeal without replace. there's a lot of dynamism in the Republican Party, which I think is healthy in one sense, but it's interesting to watch them. They're in full control. You know, they've got Congress and they've got the presidency, and still they're struggling because they have these factions within the party that can't quite agree on how to do this. So I don't think it's going to pass the Senate, and I don't think we're going to see a repeal of Obamacare, a full repeal. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, you know, in order to get enough votes in the House, they had to decimate the whole pre-existing condition thing. And that was one of the most popular parts of Obama, about the Affordable Care Act.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Yeah, there were two specific things that I've always heard Republicans concede that were very popular that needed to stay.
Pre-existing conditions.
Pre-existing conditions. Thank you. It's been a long day. And, you know, and of course the, you know, your son or daughter can stay on your health care until they're 26. Those two things, you know, I didn't think they would ever give in on.
And now they had to in order to get enough votes from that conservative bloc. I think it's the Freedom Caucus, but I could be wrong, but I think it's the Freedom Caucus bloc that they did that. And that there were 10 mandatory things that got covered if you had health insurance, which it's very interesting. A friend of mine, who you know actually, Dara, you've met Dara before.
Mm-hmm.
She pointed out way back before the elections for the president that a lot of the underpinning stuff that was going on from the Republican Party was to undermine the increasing power of women in government.
Really?
And that you look, and she made a really good case. She said, they're saying that they're going to take away child care benefits. Well, who suffers there? More men or more women? How often does a single mother can only have a job if she has child care help?
Right.
That one of the things that the Affordable Care Act made mandatory was it covered maternity coverage. Who does that affect? First and foremost, it affects the woman. And there is
right.
a secondary effect to a male, if there is even a male in process. But she came up with five things, and I wished I could remember them. Next time I talk to her, I should have her rattle them off, because it was very interesting. She goes, each and every one of those is trying to undercut the advancement that women have made that allow them to go out and have jobs and be a force and be a power and to be reckoned with. She goes, this is very misogynistic when you look at who's really affected by these things that they're going after. Planned Parenthood, who really gets affected? A lot of women, a lot more women who can't afford health care, that only can get health care through Planned Parenthood, are who's affected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when she made the case, because at first when she said that, I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, she goes, no, this is an assault. This is an assault on women. Several of these things are an assault on women. They want to drive them back to being 1950s housewives, completely dependent on males. And when she...
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of old white... Yeah, it's a lot of old white men making decisions. A lot of old white men making decisions that directly affect women.
Absolutely.
That's historically what it's been. Yeah.
Yeah. And so it was a very interesting perspective. I never thought about it. And when you first said it, I was like, you're crazy. And she's like, no. And she starts naming it and she starts pointing it out. And I'm like, oh, my God, you're right. There is an assault on women on many of these things that the Republicans have been going after. That it much more affects females than males, these decisions.
Yeah.
And it cripples them. It cripples them in different ways. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, so that it's a very interesting thing. And of course, probably second behind Hillary Clinton, the most unpopular female Democrat, I'm pretty sure, in the Republicans' view of the world, is actually Elizabeth Warren, not Nancy Pelosi, who some people think it is. I think that Elizabeth Warren scares them.
Yeah, I wasn't sure which one you were going for. I thought you were going to say either her or Dianne Feinstein. But yeah, Elizabeth Warren, her name shows up a lot for 2020. He could be Trump's opponent, her or Martin O'Malley or possibly Hillary Clinton.
Yep, some people are saying that she may run again.
It would not shock me. It wouldn't shock me either way. It wouldn't shock me if she did decide to, but it also wouldn't shock me if she decided, no, I'm done.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, can you imagine she goes through all this again and ends up losing again? Oh.
I'm not even sure the way things are going that Trump would re-get his party's nomination.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we're out of time.
And we're out of time. Thank you for joining us for Neutral News Thursday with Matt Connerton from Matt Connerton Unleashed and none other than Dr. Kevin. Have a great week.